I'm totally amazed now how the Lord is working. I'm just amazed by this. My help comes from you. I was talking to Caleb this morning in our breakfast. And I said, I remember Nahum 1:7. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows them who trust in Him. And then this one, my help comes from you. You are right here, pulling me through. Just read that one, and you can see that as I prepare myself, my family, the church, of going here maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to prepare. And others, a neighbor of mine said, he's a pastor, just use what you've been preaching, what you preach in the church. And I said, I don't think I can do that because they are different in that sense of the needs or where they are. Different in the sense that you're a good difference, but because they're better. No. I said that one. Different because in the sense that the stages of life, in our journey of life, we are all in the journey, but others are just about to started, or about to finish the race. But we are all in the race. But when Pinky knows this, that's why I cannot hide anything from her. Because she's been just saying, please don't overthink this camp, and don't overstudy, and don't over. Just pour out your hearts. Your heart, and just encourage them as you encourage the people. And when I ponder on this, it's good that the Devonish worship team are planted here, or else I will pray to the Lord of the Harvest to send laborers there in Melbourne. But I value my friendship with Paul, so I will not do that. But maybe I can pray later on. But you are right here pulling me through. You carry my weaknesses. Weaknesses. My sicknesses. My brokennesses. All on your shoulder. Because you're the one who's always rescuing me, Lord, from my foolishness, from my mistakes. And if I will just tell you that those things that God has done in and through me, weekend camp is not enough. Because we are just about to start the episode 1 of the Chronicles of Gorgonia. I'm Jim with 2 M's and my last name is Gorgonia, for those who don't know this. That Pinky and I are starting to compile the Chronicles of Gorgonia. If Narnia has the witch, the wardrobe, and the lion, we have different experiences of God's goodness. And as I prepare my heart again this morning, it seems that I am about to end my mission here. Someone asked me, how are you doing? How's your sleep? You know what? To be honest, this is the best sleep that I've ever had since 2 weeks. For 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I'm just like so good. Because only to find out. Because I know it's like the plane is already about to land. My mission here is about to end. Only to find out. No. I'm connected now to this church. To each one of you. That's why I keep on inviting you, or hey, Melbourne. Not to go there. But if you want to live longer, stay here. Look at this. That's why my friend Kim and Bate, they moved from Melbourne to here. So I feel at home because seeing them, they used to be in our first church in Melbourne and they moved here. And I don't. Are you coming back to Melbourne? No. Because they are here, and Now I can say publicly that you're in the right place. They are here for almost a year, and we're so happy to see them. But hello and goodbye, because later on we're going to fly back. But as I end this trip this time, I just want to impart to you a portion of our hearts in terms of our journey. Because I can say that I am living a God-sized dream. God-sized. It is not a gym size. It used to be gym size to the point that I just want to live a easy, comfortable life here on earth. What do I mean by that? Study, work, raise your kids, prepare for the retirement when you have your superannuation, then enjoy life, grow old, and die. That's a gym-sized dream. Only to find out that I've been living so little in this life. When Jesus said in John 10:10, "I come that you might have life." Because when He came, you are dead in your sin, in trespasses. You are dead spiritually. But now that Jesus came, you have life. But He didn't end there. He said that you might have it more, in King James, abundantly. Wow. But I'm settling from, "Lord, I'm going to heaven." Only to realize that there are many Christians who are piling up on the other side. They are looking at the heaven, the place, the city whose builder and maker is God, to the point that they are so heavily minded, but no earthly good. "I'm going to heaven. I don't care." It's like the Titanic. The Titanic sunk, and you're in the lifeboat or in the log, and you don't want to give this log. "I'm going to save my own self. I'm not going around to look for someone to save." That's why one time when my kids and my family and I are driving towards the city, because that's where we are, that's where we believe God called us to start a church, and we name it Southern Cross Church, if you're looking for a church. But I know you're not, because you're here. Southern Cross Church, not only because it's near the Southern Cross Station in Melbourne, but when your life went south, when your life went south, there's a cross waiting for you at Southern Cross Church, from Jim with two M's. I'm just saying that because we all fall short of the glory of God. We are like sheep who run astray. And we're looking for someone to guide us. And that is the Lord. That's why the Word of God, as He said, it's our GPS. It is like the Bible, the best instruction before leaving earth. It is our guide. And don't let your ego, the EGO, your edging God out. You are edging God out to hinder you from doing what God wants you to be. That's why when I was confronted by that, "Jim, you've been living a gym-sized dream, because you know that you only need the gym-sized strength and wisdom. And when you fail, it's not too bad, because your dream is so small. That's why you're okay. We're not attempting more of us or beyond us, so that we are not going to need beyond strength or the strength beyond our capability. So that when you attempt, you will say, 'I can't do that. It's so big. It's so high. It's so huge, massive.'" And I want you to go to this message, this passage, and I don't have enough time to unpack everything here, but I know some of you have memorized this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. It's funny, because when we have our morning prayer here, both Paul and Andrew, read the passage in Ephesians, this is the morning meditation for me and even thinking about this passage. And it says here, the Apostle Paul, after giving his greetings to the Ephesians, after giving this spiritual blessings that you have in Christ, after giving thanks and praying for the people of Ephesus, that their eyes will be opened, that they will realize the immeasurable greatness of His glory towards those who believe, after saying those things and giving that grace through faith, that you are saved not by works of righteousness that you have done, but because of the grace of God. And he said that you are one in Christ. Now you are one in Christ. Before, the mystery is you think that the gospel, the message, the promise of God is only for the Israelites, for the chosen one. But now this mystery is being revealed and packed to you, that you are also one in Christ. Christ broke down the barriers, the wall of hostility. Now you are one in Him. There's no special people. You are one. You are the special people, the precious people of God, because you are chosen in Christ. He said this about this mystery of the gospel. It was revealed to you. That's why Paul gave his life to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches, not just of the gospel, but the unsearchable riches of Christ, the person of Christ, not just the doctrine of Christ. That's what I've been telling you last time, yesterday, that I just don't want you to focus on knowing about Him, but knowing Him. No wonder in Colossians, Paul himself says that Him we preach, Him we proclaim. It is Him. We preach the Word. But in Greek, it says Logos. We preach the Logos because the Logos become flesh and dwelt among us. Therefore, he landed on this. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Just think that for a moment. And let the Holy Spirit of the Lord not only hide it in our hearts, but dominate our own thinking, our whole life. Father, I commit this message to you. They are your people. We are your people. Allow us, Lord, to fall in love to you over and over and over again. Every day, every single day, every minute of our lives, Lord, help us to love you. That's why with the tiny little wisdom that I have, I'm offering it to you, Lord. They're not sufficient, but you are our sufficiency. Will you please use me, Lord, once again as your channel of your blessings? Will you please allow me, Lord, to be an agent of your grace, that your people here at Hope will be encouraged, will be inspired, will be challenged to live a God-sized dream that only you can fulfill. Father, will you please empower us through your Spirit? Help me to be clear, powerful, and authoritative as I deliver your message. For your name's sake, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power that is working within us. I hope it will not only be in your Bible, I hope it will be in your heart and will be seen in your life. That's why I keep on challenging our people at Southern Cross that they need to live out what they believe. Because if you will live out what you believe, eyes can't see, haven't seen, nor ears have heard the things that God has prepared for you. And I can say that I am living a God-sized dream, because if someone will tell me 20 years ago, Jim, you're going to be a preacher and going places and preach Jesus in different countries, and beside that, you are going to preach in English, I will tell him, you are crazy. If I have 1 million, I will bet my 1 million to you. If you are the one who are telling me that, Cody, I will bet my 1 million, but pesos, okay? Not dollars. But your $1 million to 1 million pesos. I would say, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. Because I remember when I started my pulpit ministry, pulpit, that was back in the Philippines, more than 30 years ago. Because that was 10, when I was 10 years old. I think Dean is 10 years old, right? Oh, no. He's 10 years old. At the age of 10, I started my pulpit ministry, not as a pulpit preacher, but as a pulpit polisher. I polished the pulpit. I was a janitor, a cleaner in the church. At the age of 10 until 25 years old. So for 15 years, I've been cleaning the church. Of course, as a cleaner, I have the key and I can go to the church anytime. Can pray there, sing there, and practice and do many things there. But one significant thing happened there. After cleaning the floor, scrubbing the floor with my foot, with a scrub, with the coconut has, brother, bunot. And that's the time that I will polish it, and it's all polished, and then the chairs are all in order. Now my finishing touches will be the pulpit. It's a wooden pulpit that I will put a glade here, or just like polishing it. But one time, there was a moment that came to my mind, why not copy my pastor? So I just said, open your Bibles, but that's in Tagalog. Open your Bibles. And then I tried to read that. I was disappointed to myself that I can read well. I cannot read well. And I said, Lord, I'd rather be a janitor for the rest of my life than to be a pastor or a preacher. I cannot do this. But if you're going to bless me financially, I'm going to support the janitors. I don't want to grow old and die as a janitor. So, but if that's your will, that's my gym-sized dream. I will clean the church, and I will be the janitor for the rest of my life. Because David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, and I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Wow, I'm with David. But God has a different plan. That's why a God-sized dream, like, it's so powerful to me. That was a time when I mentioned to you yesterday about me resigning to be in a full-time ministry, to be a missionary, to preach the Word of God. I said, this is a God-sized dream. But what is this God-sized dream? I will give you right now what is this God-sized dream. The God-sized dream is the message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And that is to redeem or to save His people, His created ones, to be with Him again. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf, to pay the debt that we cannot pay. And then he rose again from the dead so that you and I can have life in Christ. The God says to him is for us, his redeemed people, to be like his son, Jesus Christ, who obeyed him even on the death on the cross. Being an obedient kid, being an obedient child of God. When we look at this passage, now to him, who is him? God, who is able to do. God is able, not you. I'm not able to do anything else. Maybe the only thing that I can be proud of, that I can do, is to cook, but Filipino food. And that is rice. It's a steam rice. But doing beyond and above what I can do, I need to entrust it to the Lord. Lord, I cannot do this. And with this, doing here that he is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask. The greatest tragedy in Christian life, in our prayer, is not an answered prayer, but it is an asked prayer. That's the greatest tragedy. You don't have because you don't ask. And sometimes you ask and you don't receive it because you ask selfishly. But here, far more abundantly than all we can ask or think or imagine. The problem with us is we settle too much with little. Sometimes we blame God on the life that we have. But in the first place, we don't know what kind of life we want. Right? We blame God. Why my life is like this? But when you ask him, what do you want in life? I don't know. That's why the process that I've started yesterday is that we need to know God in order for him to really love him. Because you cannot love someone that you don't know. And then when you love someone, you cannot help it but to worship or to work for that someone. But that someone is our Creator. God is the one that is worth knowing, worth loving, and worth giving your life away. To know him and to make him known. The problem is, we don't spend time or we don't invest our time knowing him. We are settling so much for the comfort of life. We are trying to save our life. For what? He who loses his life for my sake will find it. But he who is trying to save his life will lose it. That's why when I'm looking at this, my help comes from you, Lord. If you can only imagine, if you know with all your heart that you're not going to fail, what are you going to do with your life? When Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, he said that with confidence, that you can do that. That's why he didn't end that commission in Matthew 28. That's why the continuation of Matthew 28 is Acts chapter 1. Go, but Acts 1:5 says, but wait. Wait for what? The Holy Spirit. Because Acts 1:8 it says, after Acts 1:5, but after waiting, you need to be empowered. And I revisit that again, that passage, Acts 1:8. But you will receive. You will. He didn't say you may. You will receive. There's an assurance that you will receive power, but when you receive the power after that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you should be, and you must be a witness. Witness not only saying what you have seen, what you have heard, but witness like martyr, marturo, willing to die for that. Are we willing to die for what we believe? Or we're just settling for, I don't want to be radical in my Christianity because I don't want to be persecuted by my workmates, by my classmates, by my neighbors. So you're missing the blessing of God. Because Jesus himself said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. That's why being or living a God-sized dream is far beyond what you can think, what you can imagine, what you can even ask for. But that event in my life changed when I keep on convincing the Lord in my asking, in my imagination, Lord, I'd rather be a janitor for the rest of my life than to be a preacher. It changed when I was diagnosed with hypertoxic thyroid. It's very rare for a guy like me, because I was just early 20s, the effect of that is that because I cannot maintain the toxic or thyroid, and the doctor even didn't know that what sickness I'm having, because my body or my muscle is moving involuntarily. I'm losing my hair, and my eyes are pop. If this one is big, it used to be bigger. My eyes look like Ben, like this, because I'm Asian. But because of my sickness, it was pushed out. And that was the time before Pinky and I got married. The worst part is when I experienced thyroid storm, they said, this body below, waist down, will shut down. And it will be like paralyzed. I cannot move. I cannot move to the point that I need someone to bring me to the toilet. Or I need someone to get a bucket beside me. When that was diagnosed, before we got married, I told PK, ask her, you still want to marry me? And really, she begged, please, I want to marry you. I love you. And she's here. I forgot she's here. Now, she's contesting. No, it's, I don't want to be emotional. That's why I just added that. You can erase that. It's not true. It's not the truth. Because she said, she reacted, I can delete her. But, yeah, I lost, I think that time, at least 15 pounds in a week. So quick, 20 pounds, and I'm really losing weight. Of course, we got married because of love, her crazy love. If I'm crazy, she's crazier to marry me. And that was the time we thought we're not going to have a baby. Because this was down, paralyzed down, but not all the time. We don't know when it will happen. But one time in my last or second to the last thyroid storm, I was isolated because I took a nuclear or a radiation therapy. I was alone in my aunt's house. I need to go to the bathroom. From there, that's my bed on the floor. From that place, or maybe here, it took me more than 20 minutes to get there. Because I would just crawl. I would just use my upper body to reach to the toilet. And then I said, Lord, I'm done. Just kill me. I'm ready. I have this confidence of going to heaven because of Jesus. Not because of my righteousness or goodness, not because of my religion, not because of anything else, but because of Jesus. Lord, I'm ready. I'm a faithful janitor. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know I'm ready. I've done my part. But all of a sudden, but if you're going to heal me, I'm going to give my life to you to the fullest. Of all the verses again, after that prayer, I have my Bible beside my bed. The Lord brought me, I believe, in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins, and who heals all your diseases? I've been a Christian for more than 10 years. And that time, there is a verse like this. I know that all my sins have been forgiven, but I didn't know that He can heal all my diseases. And I said, Lord, okay, heal me. We thought we're not going to have a baby before we got married because of that sickness. God gave us 4. And we are overwhelmed, not because of me, not because I'm good, not because I obey, but because God has a perfect plan for my life. That's why I'm challenging you not to boast in your wisdom, not to boast in your treasure or in your strength. Just like in Jeremiah 9:23, it says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his treasure. But let him who boast in this, that he knows me, that I am the God who practice loving kindness, justice. For in this I delight, says the Lord. He's the God who practices chesed. Remember, surely goodness and mercy, the chesed, loving kindness of God. You need to boast in that, that you know me. And I know you. Therefore, with this, I said, Lord, you are my all. You are my strength. Pinky just whispered to me when we were singing this. It's my first time to hear that. She said, you have a new favorite song, huh? She knew my weaknesses. She knew that I will embrace all the promises of God in order for me to accomplish this God-sized dream. But one time, in my prayer and fasting, I think in my day 10 of fast, it's been so strong to me. What is this God-sized dream? What is this God-sized dream? And how can I accomplish this God-sized dream? I've been praying, Lord, please reveal it to me. It's so vague to me and it's so big to me. Then one time, my 7-year-old, I think she was 7, she's 15 now, or she's a bit 6 or 7. She approached me, Dad, can I have a Barbie doll so that I can play with my sister? That was back in Sydney. And I told her, you pray to God, ask God that He will give you a Barbie doll. I'm not using that only as an excuse because I don't have the money to buy, but I want her to exercise that if you need someone, something, when you need something, ask God first and then ask Daddy. And she said with a twinkling eyes, okay. She went to my room, to our room. Of course, I'm expecting, no, I want my Barbie doll now. No. Okay. So I followed her. And look, in our room, she knelt there on the bed. And she said, Lord God, thank you for this beautiful Barbie doll with the long hair, the beautiful dress that I can play with my sister. God gave me an answer there. God-sized dream can only be accomplished by a childlike faith. My help comes from Him. That's why I know I need to impart this. It's heavy in my heart that I want to share this to Hope. Are you running away from something or someone because you are being hunted by this God? Says then that you know that God has a perfect plan for your life, but you are not willing to let go of your plan. I brought this one here. Not to promote this toothpaste or not to show off that I'm brushing my teeth. I brought this one here because I will bring this back home. Because it's not finished yet. It's not empty yet. What I will do here is I will squeeze this to the point that sometimes I will suck in here, and then if I'm done, I will cut in the middle, I will scoop this, and then I will use this as my cup and then throw this away. Pinky knows that. Because I love, since then, since I've started living a God-sized dream, I said, Lord, I want to die empty. I don't want to bring all the gifts that you have given me to be used here on earth. I want to die empty. Use me, Lord. Bless me so that I can be a blessing. Use my tiny little life here on earth so that I can impact eternity. I can invest this life for eternity. So that many people will be challenged, will be moved, will be transformed. Because I believe that the world is yet to see what God can do to a man, a woman, who's fully devoted, consecrated to Him. And I said, I want to be that man. The world is yet to see what God can do to a man, a woman, who's fully committed, who's fully devoted to Him. What is your life? It's just like a vapor. And yet God can use that if you will live a God-sized dream. Father, I think I've given my best to pour out my heart, to be real to your people. That's why I'm trusting, hoping, believing, expecting that this work that you have done through me will create a big impact. There are people here at Hope. If I can be a tiny match that would ignite the fire so that this fire will spread out around Hobart, around Tasmania, around Australia, around the world, Lord, have it your way. We don't want to limit your power on what you can do. Because we are asking so little. Lord, change our hearts so that we will live not only for ourselves, but we're going to live for you by loving the people around us and looking for ways how to serve them, for them how to find life, and to guide them where to find it, and to point them to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the light. My help comes from you. And help me, Lord, not to depend on my own strength and understanding, but to rely on you fully and die empty. Because everything that you have given me right now, you want me to use them all so that many will come to the saving grace and knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. Father, bless us, please. Bless us more than what we can ask, we can think, what we can even imagine. Help us, Lord. Help us, please. Help us continually so that we can be of good help to others. For your name's sake, Lord Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.